The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. It is the annual Red Sox executives putting their foot in their mouths time of the year. No spring training action yet, no games until this coming Saturday, but plenty of other action surrounding this team, plenty of drama as usual as well. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I'm here with Doug and Terry. And guys, it's our favorite tradition. Every year, spring training opens. Sam Kennedy and Tom Werner and Craig Breslow all go down there. They sit down with Tom Caron. They sit down at the podium. And inevitably, one of them, if not multiple of them, always says something stupid to piss us off and to kind of just really get baseball season going for us. So the last 48 hours have been quite a whirlwind for these guys. It started on Sunday with Sam Kennedy being asked about the Alex Bregman situation, the fact that he did not re-sign with the Red Sox, ended up signing with the Chicago Cubs. And Sam Kennedy just flat out said, if Alex Bregman wanted to be here, he would be here. So obviously that quote garnered a lot of attention. And then you had Tom Werner doubling down on the Rafael Devers situation, because why not rehash that old wound again? And he basically said, well, you know, it was a difficult situation, but Rafael Devers, quote, should have just picked up a glove and played first base and helped the team. So you got the owner or one of the owners, and you got the team president just absolutely making fools of themselves so far in these last 48 hours. They've since tried to walk some of those comments back, but kind of hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube after those types of comments. So, Doug, I'll start with you. I mean, it just feels like we go through this every year, but this feels particularly bad, especially after this offseason. So what was your reaction to those two comments?
Yeah, I mean, the Werner comment's just ridiculous at this point. Like, we're still talking about that. Like, just get over it. Like, that's just that. I feel like that was the more ridiculous comment, even though Kennedy's is just, like, crazier. It's just, like, we know that's not true. We just know that's a lie. So it's just – they just sit there and lie. Like, the Werner comment's just, like, so what are you doing? Rafi's response too, I don't know if you saw it, was perfect. He was just like, I have no comment. That's in the past, and I have no focus on that. It's like, yeah, no, that's what Werner should be thinking too. Even though he messed it all up and we're still mad about it, he should not be bringing up his mistakes and just giving us reasons to just talk more crap about him and like you said, put his foot in his mouth even more. Like, no one's forcing him to say these things, and he's just doing it on his own. And the Kennedy thing is just a lie, and we know that. And if they really wanted him here, they would have brought him back. But it's just we didn't want Bregman, really, most of us at the numbers that he wanted to get anyway. So it's like they're like little kids, like when you know they're lying. You know, like they have chocolate on their face and they're like, I didn't eat the chocolate. That's like what they're doing to us.
Terry.
So, you know, isn't it ironic that Rafi Devers can just simply say no comment about it and simply move on with his career and probably be really productive and just focus on the future because he doesn't have a dark cloud over him. The Red Sox ownership and front office will always have a dark cloud over him because, you know, at the end of the day, we're always going to be searching for that bat that he was, that clutch gene. And maybe Roman Anthony kind of emerges. We don't know much about Wilson Contreras in those types of moments either. But It's just when you say you can't replace a player like Rafi Devers, which is what Sam Kennedy said, why did you trade him? Why did it get to that point? And we still don't know. I mean, we've beaten the dead horse quite a bit. You know, Zips doesn't have a 20 home run guy. I bet we'll have one or two by the end of the year, but the projections say we won't have one. We're not expected to be in the top half of the league in home runs. And there was no cohesive strategy here to getting us back to a position to where we could be one of the top 10 offenses in Major League Baseball and in a top five offense, let's say, in the American League. We're just not there. And the other thing that came to mind, you know, and I couldn't call it an epiphany, like I'm realizing it for the first time, but it's just sobering to know that when you go back from 04 through, and even before 04, like go back to 03, even the Grady Little year and the pain. I mean, one of the reasons 04 is so epic is because the year before was so painful. You know, it just made 04 that much more special. But that was a romantic period in Red Sox baseball history, 04 to 2013. And you only got to enjoy that era because we had some smart executives and we had a committed owner. And we haven't had that since 2018. And, you know, just the word salad coming out of Sam Kennedy's mouth every time he gets in front of the microphone, we're just never getting back to that. We're just never going to have those smart people to kind of recreate that era. You know, us millennials, you know, and, you know, even the early 50 somethings are always going to have that. But the 20 somethings and younger right now, I don't know what comes after Gen Z when it gets here, but that group isn't going to have what we had. And it's just so sad because you do have the resources. And I'm not really putting much of this on Henry anymore as far as what the roster looks like, because Breslow being able to spend up to that second luxury tax threshold when we came into the season at like 175, 180 million, that's fair. That is a fair allocation of resources, and he botched it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I'm kind of getting sick of the whole narrative that, like, oh, you know, it's just cheap-ass John Henry and the Red Sox aren't spending anymore. They do spend. They especially spend on their own guys. I mean, they extended Roman Anthony. Thank God it didn't happen, but they wanted to extend Tristan Casas after he had that miracle half season. They extended Sidon Rafaela. Like, they are taking care of their own guys. And, you know, they went out and traded for Crochet and then gave him a big extension. Like, that's what you do. You know, you paid your ace. Now, look, this offseason, they fell short. They fell short of Pete Alonso. Probably were never in on a guy like Kyle Schwarber. We're probably never in on a guy like Dylan Cease. But the Bregman stuff, look, it's frustrating that he's not here. I get it. But when you look at that contract, man, are the Cubs going to regret that in short order. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't have tried a little harder to get him here, but it's a bad contract. It's okay to say that. So Henry takes a lot of the blame for this stuff. He needs a better shield than Sam Kennedy. Because here's the fact. John Henry is a bit of a recluse as an owner. He is. He doesn't want to talk to the fans. Today was actually the six-year anniversary from the last time that John Henry publicly spoke to the fans in like a professional, like press conference type of format. I don't count the Fenway Fest stuff. I know that he's got a microphone when he does that, but that's all a Nesson produced, like Carrabas and Tom Karen fitting him softballs. Like, John Henry may as well have a script for that stuff. I don't count the Fenway Fest stuff. I'm talking about like a real press conference in front of Red Sox media, in front of Shaughnessy, like guys like that. He hasn't done that in 6 years. And that's why Sam Kennedy's here. He's here to be John Henry's media shield. So he goes out there and you know, look, he's going to lie a lot because John Henry wants to lie a lot. The problem with Sam Kennedy is he does crap like this where he puts his foot in his mouth. And then he goes, well, you know, like he was there today. He goes, well, you know, I don't want to say too much because if I say too much, I get in trouble. But if I don't say enough, then I also get in trouble. It's like, that's not why you get in trouble, Sam. You get in trouble because you say stupid crap. Like if Alex Bregman wanted to be here, he'd be here. And that's just not the case. The truth is you came in under market with your value, with your contract offer, and you didn't give him the no trade. He wanted to be here. Like he would have been here. If you gave him a fair offer, close to what the Cubs gave him, or exactly the same, whatever, and you gave him that no trade, he'd be here. You didn't want to do it. So it's not about Alex Bregman saying, oh, you know, F Boston, I want to go to Chicago. No, like this is a better situation for him ultimately. But he chose the Cubs because they gave him a better offer. They will always take the better offer. So it's just that John Henry doesn't have the right people to speak for him. Ideally, it would be Craig Breslow. But Craig Breslow has the personality of a shoe and he talks like a robot. So nobody wants to hear him. Nobody wants to hear about his valuation charts and his, you know, Zips projections. Like, that's all you're going to get out of that guy. So that's useless. And then you have Sam Kennedy, who just can't help himself but to just really step in it every single time he has to talk about something difficult. So, and the ultimate point about the Rafi Devers, like, it's hard to replace a bat like that. I mean, Doug, you said it perfectly before we came on the air. Yeah, especially if you don't try. If you don't try to take that money and reallocate it. Yeah. If they had signed Pete Alonso and, I don't know, throw in one more bat, maybe they trade for Paredes or something like that, then you could at least say, well, at least they're trying to replace his production. At least they're trying to add some power there. But they didn't. All they did was they added Wilson Contreras, who's a very good player. I like the player. I like the trade. It's not a power bat. And now this whole thing about the Zips projection of they don't have a single Red Sox batter with over 20 home runs. Yeah, no kidding. Look at the lineup. I wouldn't bet on that either. Roman Anthony should get there, assuming health, but that's a big ask for a 21-year-old. I know he's, you know, built like a Mack truck now, but still, that's a huge amount of pressure to put on him. So it's just everything about the way they handled the offseason, and you get to spring training. This should be their time. The Bruins and Celtics are on break right now. They're not playing. The Patriots just got their asses handed to them in the Super Bowl. The Boston fan base is looking to cling to this team. And you go to spring training and you're dishing out insults to Alex Bregman and your owner is telling Rafi Devers, oh, you should have just picked up a glove and played. Like, Jesus, how's that the way you want to start it? So it's just, it's a Red Sox problem. It's a Red Sox ownership and front office problem. They just don't know how to speak to the fans without coming off as just insulting and condescending, not just to the fans, but to the players who aren't here anymore. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's so true. It's like what he said, if I say this, it's just say the right thing. Just say the true thing. Just be honest with us. The whole Bregman thing, like, is he afraid to, like, maybe they're afraid to, like, talk bad, you know, for future players or something, but just be like, we didn't want him at that number. Like, just say that. I think everyone would be like, yeah, like that's fair. But he has to go and say all this stuff, and it's just, you know, he's lying, and it's hard to have faith in anything, you know, anything they say moving forward, right? Because it's just like the boy who cried wolf at this point. It's like, how can you trust anything that any of them say? How can you have faith how can you really have faith in anything that they do at this point? It's just hard.
In so many ways, we're unfortunate that they're as stupid as they are, but I think being stupid kind of did avoid the Bregman landmine, because I think, as I've said, there's going to be some remorse, probably as early as midseason, on a $175 million contract to him. You're going to most likely have a strike. We don't even have a players union president anymore. Apparently, what's his name? Tony Clark. Yeah. Apparently, he was playing hide the pickle with his wife's sister, apparently. And his resignation was submitted today due to that. And there were some speculation of financial improprieties. I don't know what that means. It could mean a ton of things. So apparently, he was just a bad, a bad leader for the Players Association. And it'll be interesting to see who they put in place. How combative is he going to be? Like, how much more likely is there going to be a strike? You know, so we'll see how that all plays. But in Bregman's case, what does he look like coming out of a strike year after sitting around doing nothing? I mean, I don't think we're worried about Roman Anthony that much. I don't think we're worried about Willie Abreu or even a Jaren Duran type guy. But what does an aging Alex Bregman, how does he come out? You know, he's already declining in bat speed. His exit velocity is declining. Everything's declining. So I think we dodged a major bullet there. But, you know, with Sam Kennedy's case here, I think it stings a little bit because he's still living with the, you know, fact that apparently the Red Sox tried to tell Scott Boras he didn't have a better offer when in fact he did. And perhaps there's still some lingering embarrassment because of that. So maybe that's why we're getting the snooty, oh, well, if he wanted to be here, he'd be here. You know, so I just, that's just a bad, that's just bad form by Kennedy. And apparently another sticking point, maybe this would have got it done too. Maybe Bregman might have taken slightly less money if a no trade clause was put into that deal. Maybe he stays. Maybe that gets it done. Maybe it's worth $10 million less to have the no trade clause. Because if you're Alex Bregman, and I've mentioned this fairly recently, you know, I think a lot of people have the false assumption here that he enjoyed taking third base away from Rafi Devers. He enjoyed that. He came in thinking he was entitled to that position. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think he would have been fine playing second base if Rafi was happy playing third. That was not Bregman's call. So he was the unwitting, you know, character in that story where, you know, Devers gets pulled off of it, gets forced to DH. They want him to play first base, and he would have played first base had Breslow committed to that long term. And Casas had already blown out his knee and at that point lost all value. I don't think it's reasonable. He has looked good in some clips we've seen, but I don't think it's a reasonable expectation that, you know, he's definitely going to play 140 plus games the next 3 or 4 years in a row. So his value is all the way down. There was no reason to not commit to Rafi Devers at first base. You don't have anybody else in the pipeline. You got that Justin Gonzalez guy, and who knows what he's going to be. I think he's still playing high A. And so, you know, there were just so many missteps there. And so getting back to Bregman, why would you agree to a long-term deal without a no trade clause after seeing what happened to Rafi Devers when he didn't have a no trade clause?
Yeah, very true. Very good point.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously this team has no problem, you know, just jettisoning, you know, stars off the roster if they don't feel like paying them anymore. So, and it's not like the Red Sox have not done a no trade clause ever in their past. They gave one to Chris Sale. So if you're willing to give one to Chris Sale, a pitcher with injury history, but you won't give it to Alex Bregman. And look, don't get me wrong. I agree with you, Terry. I think there's going to be some remorse on that contract, probably sooner rather than later for the Cubs. But if the whole sticking point was a no trade and Bregman was willing to come here, even if, you know, with your under market, you know, offer, then you look pretty bad there. And I saw, like, I forget who said it on the radio this week. They said, you know, the whole Bregman saga also cost you your relationship with Rafael Devers. That's not necessarily true. Because again, I agree with Terry. Like, that was Breslow. That wasn't Bregman. Bregman came in here knowing that Rafael Devers was the everyday third baseman. He probably knew that he was going to have to play some second base, you know, maybe change things up a little bit, whatever. I mean, Cora said it when he came in here. He's like, yeah, he's going to play second base. And then it was Breslow who decided, no, actually, we want Bregman at third. And, you know, Devers was a little bit late getting to spring training that year, which he always is. But they treated it like it was, you know, the first time he'd ever shown up late. And they just, like, kind of punished him weirdly for it. And that's where Breslow just said, you know what? No, I want Devers to be our DH going forward. And then Devers gave him a second chance by saying, oh, I'll play first base, but I'm not going to learn first base if you're just going to yank me off of it when Casas is healthy. I want you to commit to me being a first baseman full time. And Breslow still couldn't do that. So I don't know. I mean, you can get on Devers all you want for, you know, maybe just being a little bit of a stickler, but all these guys are. None of these guys want to change their position. You know, Bo Bichette doesn't really want to play second base, but he'll do it because the Mets gave him a boatload of money. And he looks at Francisco Lindor and goes, yeah, well, he's probably a better shortstop than me, at least defensively. Fine. If we win the World Series, I don't give a damn what position I play. So for the Red Sox to act like Rafael Devers was just, I don't know, this unreliable force that they just couldn't control, it's not true. All he was asking for was consistency and honesty. And Breslow and honestly, Cora too, they couldn't give that to him. And that's why the whole thing blew up. So, you know, Bregman was not the cause of that. Bregman was a good part of this team. He helped you win a lot of games. And I do think he would have played second base if they just stuck with their plan. But Breslow is unable to do that because, again, he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. So he gets Bregman in here, right, on that stupid contract that we all knew he was going to opt out of. And then he decides, you know what? No, I'm going to put him where I want to put him. Even though I told everyone, I told Cora that he's going to play second, I'm not going to mess with Rafi Devers. No, I want Devers to DH because I don't like his defense and whatever. Probably one of his stupid charts told him that, you know, that's what had to happen. So, again, it all just goes back to Breslow and just the way this front office operates. Like, they just, man, if you're a player, I don't know how you can have any faith in them. Not just, you know, as a free agent, but you're a player here right now. I mean, they still have too many outfielders. That's still an issue that they said they were going to fix this offseason. They said that they'd probably have to make a trade and someone's going to get dealt. They're all still here. So what's the deal? Like, you know, that is that going to get fixed or not? Probably not. Not at least, you know, not anytime soon. So there's just a credibility issue big time with this front office and everyone involved in it. And they better start correcting that pretty soon because, you know, you're lucky that guys, I think, still want to play here just because it is a big market. It's a good team with a, you know, good young roster and some promising prospects. But man, if your front office doesn't clean out the trash and kind of clean things up a little bit, it's going to be real hard to get, you know, any players to trust you going forward.
With, I mean, the crazy thing here, just to simplify it, you had a major controversy with Devers and that should have just incentivized them to make damn sure there was no controversy with Bregman and they messed that up. And then going back to the beginning of the Devers thing, you know, go back to early, not this winter, but the previous winter when you're trying for Bregman and he's clearly the, you know, the top guy you're pursuing. You know, I think a smart executive could have sat Devers down, and Devers speaks decent enough English, even though he still uses a translator. And they, I just think, you know, a Theo Epstein type guy would have said, look, Rafi, you know, we're going to make some big moves this winter. And, you know, we haven't been making the playoffs a lot, and we really need to change that right now. Part of that might be moving you over to first base, just like the Blue Jays did with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And that'll be your spot. We'll get a big bat on the left side of the infield and we'll go, you know, we'll go full bore into trying to build that next championship team. If you would have just done that, I just think So much history, you know, doesn't change the way that it did, you know, in June of the next season. So I just, it's crazy. The other crazy thing to me too is they should have known. I mean, this contract that Bregman signed, it's not going to be tradable anyway. It's just not going to be tradable. So the no trade clause, just give it to him. Just give it to him. I mean, Bogaerts is a year or two younger than Bregman. How tradable is he? So who's trying to take that contract? So it just shows you how low IQ of a front office this is. And, you know, Jeremy's the Sports Hub guy in our crew, and he lives down in Miami, but he streams the Sports Hub from down there. Felger and Maz are just destroying, just brutally massacring this team every day on the airways. And if you align the stars, yeah, maybe you'll have a 90-win team with an early playoff exit again, but it was just so unnecessary. How are you at the second luxury tax threshold, or maybe even a little above it, depending on which source you look at? And then you look at this offense, and it's not even a top 12 or 14 offense. That's just, there's a lot of incompetence there that got you to that point.
They really sounded today, they sounded like an ex-boyfriend that every time he breaks up with a girl, he just says, "Oh, she's crazy." They just blame it on her. Like, yeah, no, it was all her. It's all her fault. I'm the good one. You know, and it's just how they sound. They sound bitter, and it's just never good. Even if it is, like, even if it was Rafi that caused all the problems and he had to get traded out of here. It's like, even still, if it was the case, what good is it to talk about it? You just sound bitter, and you just sound like we're living in the past and trying to make excuses to be talked about better in the press instead of focusing on what needs to be done today and what needs to be done for this team in the future now.
Yeah, and Terry, your point about them getting bashed on, you know, Felger and Maz, like, that's what you get. Again, I said at the beginning of the show, like, there's no hockey, there's no basketball, and the Patriots are done. Both barrels of Boston's attention are being pointed at the Red Sox right now. And this is how you start your spring training. You haven't even played a game yet. And your executives are just talking themselves in circles, as Doug said, sounding like, you know, bitter ex-boyfriends in Tom Werner's case. It's just, this is how you want to start? Like, you know, it's a combination of that. And like, the only thing you can do right now is, okay, we're seeing clips of Christian Campbell taking batting practice. And oh, look, looks like he has pulse-eye power now. Like, that's not enough. It's just, like, everything that Kennedy and Breslow are doing and Werner, it's, like, completely overshadowing what could be exciting. Like, if Christian Campbell is going to turn around, that could be really exciting for this team. Roman Anthony looks like the Hulk right now. Like, he might hit 25 to 30 home runs. That should be exciting. You know, I've heard good things about this Jake Bennett that they picked up, you know, last year. Like, he looks pretty impressive. But all of that gets overshadowed when you keep rehashing what is a really bad wound in the Rafael Devers trade. I mean, it's like bringing up the Mookie Betts trade again. Like, do you want to start doing that too? I mean, it's just, it serves them no purpose. And same with Bregman. At this point, let it go. Okay, you know, you called his bluff, and he wasn't bluffing. And he had a better offer on the table, and he took it. Because, again, your president of baseball operations, whatever his stupid title is, thought he was smarter than Scott Boras, and he wasn't. So it's just, why keep rehashing it? And I get that, like, there's a lot of fans still asking about it, but just focus on what you've got in front of you now. When you keep reopening these old wounds, you look pathetic, and you look like you don't know what you're doing. And that level of incompetence, like, it just, you know, doesn't give me any faith in this team going into the season. And that's not how I want to feel in spring training. I want to feel optimistic, and I want to feel hopeful. And then the brass starts talking. I'm like, oh, you idiots. My God, they really are just a stupid team that hopefully wins like 88 games. I don't know. Probably not. They'll probably win 85 and scrape into a wild card. Like, who knows at this point?
Zach Scott is, I forget what he's doing now, but he was a longtime Red Sox executive in that front office, like a Brian O'Halloran type guy. But he said something to the effect of, the Red Sox front office needs to stop talking to their fan base this way. And it was mostly in regards to what Kennedy was saying 2 days ago. And I'm like, man, he would take the job if you gave it to him, you know, and he could navigate everything that Breslow can't. I spoke at length a few shows ago about Derek Falvey being that guy. I hope they pull the trigger at some point. I hope they recognize that this guy just can't get it done. You know, you can easily put Breslow into a pitching analytics role, and I think he would thrive in that. But, you know, a lot of times they just don't want to stick around once you take the big, you know, the big office job away. They tried to keep Ben Sherrington, for instance, when Dave Dombrowski got hired, and he just wasn't interested. He just didn't want to deal with a radically different mindset. But there's just so many smart executives out there, and you look at the one we have, and it's just constantly, what are we doing? Why are we getting our intelligence insulted, you know, on a daily or weekly basis?
That's what it is too. You're right. It's just insulting us because we know it's a lot, and they know that we know.
And I'll tell you what, it doesn't help the fact that, you know, so I guess Rafael Devers spoke to the entire Giants squad today and basically said, you know, I'm here. I don't consider myself a leader, but if I can help in any way, sharing my experience, I'm happy to do so. Like, he is basically doing, like, everything he can to show the Red Sox, like, or show the baseball world, like, I'm not who they say I am. Like, and good for him in a way, because you know how the Red Sox operate. They kick you out of town. They want to drag you through the mud on the way out. Just ask Terry Francona how that goes. And Devers is just, you know, and he's clearly feeding it to the reporters. But, yeah, he's just up there in front of his teammates, you know, San Francisco in spring training. Like, yep, if I can help in any way. And, you know, that Boston stuff, I've moved on. You know, I'm just focused on the now. Like, it's just, it just further adds to how big of clowns they look like. You know, Devers is, you know, up in front of his teammates talking, which he rarely ever did here. You know, Bregman's moved on. He's doing his thing at Cubs camp, or, you know, there's already shots of him talking to the young guys with the Cubs, and Cubs fans like, oh, it's so great that we have this guy here. And we get Sam Kennedy just making a fool of himself with Tom Caron and Lou Maloney. Like, it's just such a joke. So I just hope, honestly, for this Red Sox front office, usually I don't encourage this because I like transparency, but maybe talk less. Like, maybe they should all just talk less and just let Alex Cora do the talking. He's the better one. He's the PR guy. Just let him do the talking. You guys just stay in your offices and do your thing. But just stop talking for a little bit because, man, it's only going to get worse if they keep doing it.
And it's like what I said in my opening take. History going forward is probably going to be very kind to Devers, and he's going to put up decent numbers. That's not a great park for him, but he'll still put up decent numbers. And, you know, he's not going to have that dark cloud like the Red Sox continually do every time they botch something. And, you know, and they've gotten a lot wrong. I mean, that Rafaela extension at the time, I'm like, was that really necessary? You know, I mean, because on his current trajectory, is he going to get a $250 million deal when this thing expires? Or is he probably going to get a 1 or 2 year deal to be the fourth outfielder on a given team? That's what he is. And, you know, and then you've got Christian Campbell, you've got similar money committed to him, and you're not even putting him in the best spot to succeed. Every day he's got a new position. And I just think that there's so many missteps with this front office on so many different levels, all the way up to Devers and Mookie Betts, all the way down to Rafaela. Trading for Sonny Gray, which, I mean, you needed that money so bad, you know, to be allocated differently. And, you know, so it's just frustrating.
Definitely. Yeah. The Christian Campbell thing, too, is like, if you're paying a guy and he can't get out of AAA, sometimes it's not his fault. Sometimes he's good enough and you're just not putting him in the right position to actually succeed. You know, sometimes, yeah, maybe guys are just not living up to their contract and can't make it up. But I don't see that as the case with Christian. I see that as us not knowing, or them not, the, you know, the front office just not knowing what to do with him.
Yeah, I completely agree. Someone in the chat just mentioned Blake Swihart. Like, don't do that to Christian Campbell, what you did to Blake Swihart when, hey, let's take our catching prospect and put him in left field. That was a great idea. I completely agree. Like, look, I think one of the best things that could happen for the Red Sox this spring is if Christian Campbell looks like he's turned it around. Because even though he's, I guess, now an outfielder, according to Alex Cora, but maybe you can train him to play second base again or something like that. But either way, he's a right-handed power bat. If he looks like he's turning it around, that would be one of the best things that could happen. And then one more thing I want to mention before we wrap up here, because our buddy George in the chat dropped this, and it's something that's been on my mind too. So the whole Roman Anthony putting on a lot of muscle this offseason, that's nice. And, you know, as a 21-year-old, that's what you want to see. You want to see him fill out his frame. He's a big dude. I just worry because the last guy who did that was Andrew Benintendi. And it was after Benintendi had a pretty good season, but he didn't exactly hit for power. And he said, you know what, I'm going to bulk up because I want to be a 20-plus home run kind of guy. And it completely derailed his career. And luckily that, you know, not the Red Sox problem anymore, but when I hear, oh, Roman Anthony looks like the Hulk and he looks like Hulk Hogan over there, I'm like, okay, just don't put on too much because we still want you to be athletic and, you know, we don't want you to just focus on hitting 35 homers. Like, just be the player that you are. So that's all. Just a small C concern. It's probably just leftover trauma from the Andrew Benintendi thing, but I just hope that Roman Anthony didn't put on too much muscle on that. He's still going to be really good.
Yeah, I'm not really too worried about that. I think they're different players. You know, Benintendi was kind of relied on his speed, and I don't think Roman's really a speed guy. I think he was a power guy coming in. I think he just wanted to add to that. Maybe I like seeing him bulk up a little bit. And you know, he's what, 21. Like, you're going to get bigger. You're not going to stay scrawny 19-year-old your whole life.
I mean, who was the last prospect we really developed? I guess probably Duran. And that was an accident. That was because Adam Duvall got hurt and Duran made the most of an opportunity. And then the Red Sox didn't make the most out of him, you know, while his value was high. So it's the continued incompetence. And with Roman Anthony, just let him be great the way that he is, because he would be. Don't try to artificially or, you know, manufacture something that you haven't seen yet. Don't take away from what made him great. You know, if he only ends up being a perennial 25 homer a year guy, and that would make sense at Fenway Park, but he's ripping a shit ton of doubles, I'm good with that. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, 100%. So, and we'll get to see a lot of Roman Anthony and all these guys pretty soon. First spring training game will be this Saturday. I think it's at 2:00 against the Twins. I believe Nesson is carrying it if you're in the local area. We finally get some spring training games coming this weekend. So we'll get to see these guys in action and really start to get a better picture of how the roster is going to shake out, how all that lineup and what that's going to look like. So we'll get a lot more clarity going forward as we finally get some real games under our belts. So we're going to leave you guys with that. Like I said, we'll be here all through the spring. Anytime there's any breaking news or just to talk about how the team's doing, how guys are developing, we'll be there every step of the way. So everyone have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Take care.